What will be the ultimate fate for JEA? Good morning. We're live from Studio 5. I'm Melissa Ross. This is First Coast Connect, and thanks for listening. Just ahead, a conversation about the future of Jacksonville's utility as we welcome JEA Executive Carrie Stewart back to Studio 5. You can get on the line now and join us. Give us a call. It's 549-2937. Then later, revolutionizing heart health care here in Jacksonville as we speak with renowned physician and researcher, Dr. Dean Ornish. Keep listening for that. But first this morning, the latest on JEA. Here's something that made news the other day. A local businessman who's trying to privatize parking options in downtown Jacksonville is joining JEA's board of directors. Dane Gray of Elite Parking Services was submitted to the JEA board by Mayor Lenny Curry. Gray just stepped down from another board position at the city's Downtown Investment Authority. Now, as this happens, at the same time, JEA's leadership team continues to evaluate proposals from nine different entities interested in privatizing the city-owned utility. We're getting up to speed on what's happening right now as we welcome Carrie Stewart, Vice President and Chief Customer Officer at JEA. Carrie, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Melissa.
Thanks for joining us. It's 549-2937. Give us a call as we connect with JEA Executive Carrie Stewart. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets, already getting them. Send them to @MelissaInJax, and our Facebook page is open. All right, before we get into the privatization matter, first, could I get your reaction to the appointment of Dane Gray of Elite Parking to JEA's Board of Directors?
Sure. Well, I'm very pleased that the City Council voted last night to appoint Mr. Gray to our board. So the final decision was made by City Council last night. That gives us a full board to work with. The mayor thought that Mr. Gray was uniquely qualified, and we believe so as well. So we're excited to have him join the board.
How is he uniquely qualified?
He is a young entrepreneur who has worked in the community for a very long time. He has established a track record as an excellent and successful businessman. He also has a long track record of community involvement. Two things that I believe are key for a community oversight board like the JEA board is.
What would you say to critics of the appointment who see Mr. Gray as too close to the mayor and perhaps too willing to carry out his agenda of voting to privatize the utility, which we'll get into in a minute?
Well, I know the Rules Committee and the full council itself all had that debate publicly, and I would recommend anyone to go back and look at those meetings. That was hashed out in public, and overwhelmingly, the City Council voted to approve Mr. Gray over those concerns.
All right, and let's move on and talk about the City Council's role in all of this. They're conducting fact-finding hearings on this matter of privatizing JEA. As I mentioned, nine different entities are interested in buying the utility. I wanted to ask you about some of the public testimony the council has received in the last few days on this, particularly from the Jacksonville Civic Council. That's a group of local CEOs. They say they've studied this for 18 months, and they completely rebuked the words of your CEO, Aaron Zahn. They said that according to what they can figure out, JEA is not in a death spiral and doesn't need to sell. So what's your response to that criticism?
Well, two things. One, those were not the words of our CEO. Those were the words of our then board chair, Alan Howard. And he was talking in the context of a future where rates get raised to a point and technology for rooftop solar and battery storage meet at a point where it is easy and there's an ROI for customers to continue to move off the grid. That's the death spiral, and that's the context around it by our board chair, then board chair, Alan Howard. That is the only thing we agree with the Civic Council on. We are not in a death spiral at this time. We are looking out in the future. We are doing strategic planning, and what we are seeing is troubled waters. We've got Plant Vogtle, the debt that's going to be coming online.
Nuclear plant in Georgia, you owe money on that, right?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. A substantial amount of money. And that will come home to roost in the next couple of years. That is going to impact our bottom line and customer rates. And we take that in concert with improved efficiencies in homes and businesses alike. So people are using less energy. People are using less water, even as we gain more customers. So we've got trends that show our sales are going down while we're gaining new customers, technology is advancing and becoming cheaper, giving our customers more options to remove themselves from the utility. So there are lots of dynamics that are going on in the marketplace that the leadership team and the board are looking at 10 years out. And so I appreciate the Civic Council. We've been working with them for the last 18 months. But based on their testimony from last week, the only thing we agree on at this point is that we are not in a death spiral at this point.
It's 549-2937 as we speak with JEA's Carrie Stewart. We'll go to your calls in a moment. Let us know your thoughts about the future for the utility. At the same time as the Civic Council pushed back, a new poll from UNF's Polling Research Lab showed more than 70% of voters out there, actually I believe it was about 60%, I stand corrected, are opposed to the sale of JEA, both Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, four square against this idea. I would think that makes your job pretty difficult as you go and you try to talk about this to the ratepayers out there. They don't want this sale. What do you say to them?
Well, what I appreciate about both polls from UNF is that from the poll that was done earlier in the year to the one that was done a few weeks ago, or the results that came out a few weeks ago, it's dropped 13%, from just over 70% to just under 60% of people saying no. But I would like to go back to what the professor said last week on your show, is that it's really not a binary question right now. Sale, don't sale. It's really not that easy. We're going through strategic planning, and it's not a binary solution. We don't have a proposal for our customers or our owners, the city council, to look at this point. So what we think about the polls is it gives us a lot of opportunity to educate and engage our customers between now and the time we are able to make a recommendation to our board and to the city council. So we see the polls as a good thing. It's an opportunity to educate, an opportunity to engage, and to make some headway once we have something to propose.
And to be clear, the city council is holding a series of fact-finding hearings about this before they take a firm position either way. The city council could vote to approve or to stop JEA's recommendation to sell. At that point, it would go to you, the voters, via referendum. And so let's get your thoughts on this right now as we speak with JEA's Carrie Stewart. What are your questions? What are your comments? It's 549-2937. John is downtown. Hi, John. Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
There is a third option. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, there's a third option. Before me is a publication called Lowdown by Jim Hightower, and it says, what do you do if you own your own power company? And there's over 900... what they call rural electric co-ops. Now, if Pacific Gas and Electric, which started all those fires over in California, that's a big utility that's filed for bankruptcy. If they can look at this now, and they are looking at it, then what you do is you take ownership by the citizens. You don't have a bureaucracy, and you don't have a corporation looking down your neck. You have your own board of directors, and it's a good option. And like I say, it's called the Lowdown, and it's a publication, and it gives you all the different rating companies and everything else that look at these things. It's something like $900 million that they
And I appreciate that, John. I was going to bring up PG&E as well, and I appreciate you sharing that with us. Thank you for that. That's John in downtown Jacks. Okay. So
could I respond to that?
Yeah, but I just want to ask as well. The trend around the country seems to be going back to public power. Residents wanting control, not selling off to a private utility. There's a lot of unrest around private utilities. So why privatize when that's you're going against prevailing trends in the industry?
So two things. First, I want to answer John, and I want to thank you for your call, John. We are looking at the co-op option. There are five options on the table right now, three of which would take us from a government to a private entity. One of those is a co-op. And that would be having our customers own the company rather than government owning and controlling the company. So that is on the table. It is one of the five options that will be presented to the board in February, March, April of next year. So please know that we are looking at that. The second thing to address this trend, this mythical trend, it's not a trend. Every community is looking at it differently. And every community is addressing it differently for different reasons. What's happening in California is tragic. But I would point to San Francisco specifically because they are the one that are looking at bringing it back into government ownership and or a co-op. And the citizens of San Francisco, including the IBEW, their local electric workers union, are against that. They would prefer that it stays private. So I think to analogize JEA and the strategic planning process that we're going through to any other community is unfair at this point until everyone sees that what we are facing as a community, our unique set of circumstances, including the regulatory environment that we work in Florida, are very, very different than Colorado and California.
Still, though, you faced incredible headwinds of criticism, not you, Carrie, but your CEO, Aaron Zahn, and this whole idea of privatizing. Critics call this a solution in search of a problem. They don't see the dire need to push so fast, so far on this matter, and they see a hidden agenda. That perhaps the mayor sees this as an opportunity to pay down pension debt or do other projects around Jacksonville without raising taxes that he could then use as a stepping stone to higher office. And so from some of the ratepayers' point of view, JEA is a pawn in the mayor's future political aspirations. What about that narrative that has taken hold?
Well, it's unfortunate, but I can't speak to the mayor's intentions on this. I can only speak on behalf of the utility and our board and the fact that we are going through a normal strategic planning process that does ultimately consider three ways of privatizing the company. There are also two other options. One is to do nothing and to continue along as we are. Another is to raise rates and cut expenses or shrink the utility. And ultimately, our owners will have the final say in that. As an operator, we are not concerned with what happens after a decision is made. We are going to be presenting a slate of options for our board and our owners to decide upon.
All right, let's go to Job in Avondale. The number to join us is 549-2937. Hi, Job. You've had the patience of Job waiting to get on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. I was just going to point out the reason for the sale was described as decreasing energy costs moving forward as a result of several variables that she pointed out, as though a purchaser would not be factoring in the same factors in their purchasing price. So it's a net wash in terms of that being a lucrative reason for moving forward. It is, in fact, a solution in search of a cause. There's no underlying reason. If that's the best you can do with a reason, that says it all pretty much.
All right, Job, thanks for that. I know you knew when you were coming in here you would get some criticisms like that. So what about his comment?
So, Job, again, thank you for your call. And I would urge you to go to whatsnextjax.com and to see a lot of the other reasons our board is considering either shrinking, becoming a co-op, doing an IPO, or selling the asset. There are lots of reasons, more than just a decline in sales and an advancement in technology. There's a regulatory environment. There is a debt load that is coming to our bottom line from Plant Vogtle in the very near term. So there are lots of other reasons for the board to consider the five very different outcomes for the strategic planning path. It is not solely declining sales. And I would also add that an investor in the utility, whether they were another utility, a conglomerate, an infrastructure fund, you know who the nine are that are looking at JEA, they have a very different paradigm. They have a different way to structure debt. They have a different way to invest and to innovate and to own intellectual property and to compete in an open market in a way that a government-owned utility does not. So private entities, whether they are a co-op, an IPO, or they are another entity, have other ways to address these industry-wide issues.
All right, lots of calls for JEA's Kerry Stewart. We'll get to a few more in a moment. Lots of Facebook comments, tweets, and emails as well. Here are just a few. Jay writes on Facebook, even though JEA is free to seek bids for a sale, couldn't the city council reject all offers? Maybe this is the angle Jacksonville residents need to take. Put pressure on council members to cast no votes. Here are just a few tweets. Please remind folks that Georgia Power needs an extra $1.248 billion for Plant Vogtle, the nuclear boondoggle that has gone so far over estimate. It was supposed to be finished in 2017. Now they want a $2.2 billion rate increase, referencing what you said a minute ago, Kerry, and how that is a drain on JEA's coffers. Okay. Lots of emails coming in. Robert emails us, please listen to the new Jacksonville-based podcast called Why Should I Care? It talks about the backstory of the JEA board's shenanigans and backroom politics influenced by our mayor that brought us to this point. Here's one from John. Please go over Aaron Zahn's resume live on the air and explain that he is not qualified to be CEO. You know, John, we have covered the controversy over Aaron Zahn's appointment as CEO multiple times on this show and asked Kerry about it as well. I'll get her reaction to that in a moment. Here's one from Ray. It's time to call the JEA sale what it is, a con. Most of our citizens can see through Curry's money grab. Mr. Zahn is only a broker assisting the swindle. Ms. Stewart should save her reputation and resign. Wow.
Wow.
That's a harsh commentary on, as I said, the cynicism among the public. What's your response, Kerry Stewart?
To the last one or to any of the others?
Yeah, let's start with the last one.
Let's start with the last one. This is not a con. This is strategic planning. I can't speak to what the mayor's motives might be or might not be. He has largely been silent in this. He has talked about what would happen or what he would do with the proceeds if there was a sale. But he's largely stayed on the sidelines of this. And I can tell you from personal experience, he's not involved with the JEA board. He appoints them. He is not involved with our senior leadership team. And so,
no, but you know, people really do strongly perceive that this is being done at the mayor's behest, at his wishes. You know that, don't you?
I do. I understand that. But what I would also go back to saying is we are doing a 10-year strategic plan. And I would urge all of our customers, all of your listeners, the callers, the folks that listen to OB's podcast, to wait until they see the recommendations in the spring. And if they still believe that the answer is no, whatever it is, then let's have that discussion then. Let the process play out. There's still a lot of work being done internally, and no decision has been made by the JEA board. And to be clear, you've said it, I've said it. Ultimately, we're not the decision makers. We are the recommenders of a path forward. And so ultimately it will come to city council and our customers. If it gets to that, our board may decide that there is nothing on the table that is good for our customers, that is good for our community, and that they will decide we will shrink this utility. We will keep it the way it is. So there's a lot of emotion, which tells me a couple of things. One, our customers are engaged. That makes me happy, because that is what we want. We want people paying attention. What concerns me is that there is this binary decision that is out there of sell, don't sell, yes or no, and we're just not there yet. I would ask people to really take a step back, watch the process as it unfolds, and when there is ultimately a recommendation made by the JEA board, weigh in.
Let's go to Cheryl in Arlington. Hi, Cheryl. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I haven't heard anything yet today about why JEA wants to use taxpayer money to build up their infrastructure, to build new buildings and everything before a sale. Why do we use taxpayer money if you're going to sell it? Let the buyers improve it if they want to.
And you're talking about plans for the new JEA headquarters?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay.
It's build a new headquarters and then sell the building does not make sense.
Okay. What about that, Carrie?
Well, we're not buying the building. We'll be leasing the building. But this has been in long-term plans for JEA for a very long time. And part of the board's recommendation or request in July of this year was as you go out and look at privatization, recapitalization opportunities, there are a set of things that must be met, table stakes, if you will, for us as a board to even consider privatization or recapitalization. And one of those things is to keep a presence in downtown Jacksonville. And that means the building that is being built as well as employees. So there is a commitment to downtown that is required as a part of any recapitalization. Again, whether it's co-op, IPO, or a sale, there is a commitment to the new building and remaining in downtown Jacksonville.
Another matter that's come up that taxpayers have raised concerns about is the fact that your CEO, Aaron Zahn, and your leadership team would stand to net hefty bonuses, some in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, in the event of a sale. How can the leadership team be objective about this if you stand to personally benefit in such a cushy way?
So every employee at JEA will be eligible for a retention bonus. So retention agreements have been given out to all appointed employees to this point. Retention agreements will be given to all of our union employees once their collective bargaining agreements are approved by City Council and then ultimately the mayor. So every single JEA employee will have a retention agreement that offers them the opportunity or guarantees them a job for 3 years. And that's what that retention agreement does.
But still, the top tier of leadership stands to make a lot of money. I mean, the average folks at your company, they might get a few grand or even $5,000, $10,000. I don't know the amount. But the top executives could make huge bonuses. So how can you be neutral about this if you stand to personally walk away? Your CEO alone would walk away with $500,000 in a bonus.
Because that's his salary. Every single employee at JEA's retention bonus is 1 year's salary, paid out over 3 years, a third, a third, a third. That is to get all of our employees to stay through any transition that might be out there. No employee is only eligible for $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000. It is an amount equal to 1 year's of pay. It is no different than Aaron Zahn or the person that works on the front line at JEA. It is tied to their annual salary and equal to that.
Can you understand, though, why that would also increase cynicism among ratepayers to know that the top tier of leadership at JEA would stand to walk away with quite a bit of cash in the event of a sale, that could color their decision-making?
I understand the cynicism, but the fact remains that it is equal to 1 year's salary for every single employee at JEA, paid out a third, a third, a third over 3 years. And the goal is to retain the talent that resides at JEA so that people don't leave.
Let's go to Lisa in Bartram Park. Hi, Lisa. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling because I'm concerned. The city of Jacksonville has clearly demonstrated they don't handle privatization well at all. I mean, look at our trash pickup. It's privatized. You never know if your garbage is going to get picked up, and they can't get that straight. How should we trust them with one of our most important things, our electrical grid? Thank you.
Okay. So, again, reflecting the suspicion of this possible change.
Right. Well, Lisa, thank you for the call, and I can't speak to the garbage pickup in the city. All I can tell you is that we're not there yet at JEA. I go back to the process. We're a year in. We've got another 4 to 6 months left to go before we'll even make a recommendation. And so I would ask that you wait And maybe compare your trash pickup to whether or not you want to privatize a utility. But we at JEA aren't there yet. And you will absolutely have a chance to weigh in if it does get to that point.
And let's, before we go to break, let's go over the timetable again, Carrie. We're talking about another year and a half of this process or so, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
We started strategic planning in January of this year. And we won't have a recommendation back to our board of the five different options. And we'll bring all five back to the board to deliberate. It won't be a recommendation from staff. It will be, here are all five of the paths that JEA could take for you to decide on what you think is the best path for JEA. And then we will make a recommendation to the city council. And so that... We're here in November now, so think spring. Those five recommendations will come back to our board. Our board will make a recommendation, and if it is one of the latter three, co-op, IPO, or sale, that will be deliberated by our board. I don't know how long. Maybe one meeting, maybe a series of two or three meetings. That's not been decided yet. And if one of those last three options are selected, then it goes to city council, and it would go through a normal process for city council, and that would be up to the council president and his colleagues to decide what path they want to take. If they decide to move forward, that would lead to a referendum late summer, fall of next year. And even after that, there's still so many more unknowns to go on. But there are multiple points in the next year for community customers to weigh in.
Right. And we appreciate those that did today. And we appreciate you coming back to connect with them. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Melissa.
Carrie Stewart is Vice President, Chief Customer Officer at JEA. Up next, a conversation with renowned physician Dr. Dean Ornish as his treatments for cardiac patients come to town. We'll be right back.
This Week on This American Life, the 9-year-old boy who's like the king of the tent city. It sits right across the Mexican border in Matamoros, where there are thousands of people with no proper supply of food, water, toilets. People get kidnapped by the cartels. A nurse who works in refugee camps around the world told me this is the worst one she's ever seen. Refugee camps that we don't call refugee camps, right on our nation's doorstep this week.
Saturday at 1 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT.
Take a drive with us into the blues horizon. The best in classic and modern blues. Every Monday and Wednesday night at 11. Right here on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. A local cardiology practice has teamed up with renowned physician and researcher Dr. Dean Ornish to help treat local cardiac patients. It's a revolutionary new approach in this area for intensive cardiac rehabilitation. Here with more, we welcome to the studio Dr. Nehu and Dr. Salil Patel, both with Jacksonville Synergy Lifestyle Center. Good morning, Dr. Patels. Good to see you both.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. And joining us on the line, Dr. Dean Ornish of Ornish Lifestyle Medicine. Dr. Ornish, so good to have you with us.
Thank you as well. It's great to be here.
Okay, in a moment, we'll go back to Dr. Dean. But first, Dr. Nehu Patel, how did you team up with Dr. Ornish on this new cardiac care effort?
Well, I came to Jacksonville in 2004 from Chicago. We practice of cardiology. We you know, treat patients with heart disease, with stents and bypass. And it's a very frustrating process because they keep coming back with recurrent issues. So we started to figure out what is the thing that that's needed the most. And it's lifestyle intervention. And even though you try as a doctor with the 15, 20 minutes you have, it's very difficult to penetrate the patient's understanding about how important it is. And when I saw Dr. Ornish's work, I thought it would be best to team up with a proven technique.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Ornish, your Undo It with Ornish program is one of the first ever scientifically proven to reverse heart disease. Isn't that right?
Actually, it was the first.
The first.
Yes.
And how does it work?
For the last 40 years, I've directed a series of randomized trials and other studies showing that simple lifestyle changes, what we eat, how we respond to stress, how much exercise we get, and how much love and support we have, or, you know, to reduce it even further, to eat well, move more, stress less, and love more, can actually reverse the progression of not only heart disease, but a wide variety of chronic diseases, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, obesity. We did the first randomized trial showing that these same lifestyle changes could slow, stop, or even reverse the progression of men with early stage prostate cancer, could actually change your genes, turning on the genes that keep us healthy, turning off the ones that cause us to get sick, and even lengthen telomeres, the ends of our chromosomes that regulate how long we live. And the more diseases we study and the more mechanisms we look at, the more scientific evidence we have to show how powerful these changes are and how quickly people can get better. And under the program that the doctors Patels are doing, you know, when people get put on medications to lower their cholesterol or their blood pressure or their blood sugar, and they say, you know, doctor, how long do I have to take these? The doctor usually says, forever. And when I lecture, I sometimes show a cartoon of doctors busily mopping up the floor around a sink that's overflowing, but nobody's turning off the faucet. And it's like, how long do I have to mop up the floor? Like, forever. Well, why don't we treat the cause? And people
turn
under
the
their doctor's care can often get off these medications that we're told they'd have to take forever.
Okay, so Dr. Salil Patel, you're putting this into practice here in Jacksonville. It's called Jacksonville Synergy Lifestyle Center. How is it working with your patients?
It's working wonderfully. You know, I'm an interventional cardiologist, so we put stents in people's bodies for a living, but the work we do at the Synergy Lifestyle Center is probably the most rewarding that I've done in my career because these people truly feel better. When they adopt these lifestyle changes, they cannot help but, you know, to tell you about it, tell everybody about it. We have participants who go through the program who are recruiting their friends and families, and they just can't stop speaking about the program because of how good they feel.
And so Dr. Nehu, this is a Medicare-approved program. It's usually covered by insurance, right?
Yes, most commercial insurance as well as Medicare covers the program, and there may be a small copay if they have a standard doctor visit, but it's well accepted by most carriers.
Okay, and so Dr. Ornish, your concept is being replicated all over the country and the world, but this is the first local practice here in Jacksonville to really work closely with you on this, I believe, correct?
Yes, and we're very grateful. They're doing a fantastic job there. It's a great opportunity for people who live in the area to really have an alternative that Medicare and many insurance companies are paying for. So we're really working together to create a whole new paradigm of healthcare. And we're getting bigger changes in lifestyle, better clinical outcomes, bigger cost savings, and better adherence than anyone's ever shown.
So if a patient contacts you, what happens? How does the program kick off? What do they go through?
Well, it is a big pill to swallow, per se, you know, because it's major lifestyle changes.
Big changes,
And one of the cartoons we show, and we've gotten this from Dr. Ornish, is there's a, you know, if you show it's very easy to take pills and undergo procedures. It's very difficult to make major lifestyle changes. So when we try to tell people about the program, we have them come into the center, and they really get to sit down with our program director. They're told about how the program operates, the hours involved, when the times are. And we really try to talk to them about the dietary changes. That's where people usually get hung up on the diet part. And we try to...
More
really,
of a plant-based diet.
Correct.
Yeah, sure.
So I try to make them not to fear that. And when once they go through the process, they realize that when they feel so much better, it's a choice.
Yeah. And Dr. Dean Ornish, you're renowned also for emphasizing the wonders of a plant-based diet. That can be a hard change for folks, but it definitely is one of the most powerful things you can do to improve your health.
Well, it's true. I mean, there's a wonderful film that just came out about a month ago called The Game Changers that James Cameron, the legendary director, made. And it shows elite athletes who raised their game and became Olympic medalists and mixed martial artists, national champions, and NFL superstars when they went on a plant-based diet. You know, the biggest obstacle I often find is that people think, oh, diet and lifestyle, how powerful could that be? Well, pretty darn powerful. You know, I think our unique contribution has been to use these very high-tech, state-of-the-art scientific measures to prove how powerful people can get better. We even have several patients who were told they needed a heart transplant, and by simply making these lifestyle changes, improved so much in 9 weeks they no longer needed one. That's how powerful these simple changes can be.
How good does that sound? Dr. Nehu, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, we have a website, synergylifecenter.com. Also, our phone number is 904-686-6800. They can speak with Marcia. And we'll be happy to give them a no-obligation tour and introduce them to the program.
And again, this is the first local cardiology practice to partner up with renowned physician, researcher, Dr. Dean Ornish. So we thank you, Dr. Dean, for getting on the line with us. Also,
we're so proud of what they're doing, and we're grateful that they're providing this amazing service to the people in your community.
Thank you so much. That's Dr. Dean Ornish. Also with us in studio, Dr. Nehu Patel and Dr. Salil Patel. It's Jacksonville Synergy Lifestyle Center. Thanks, guys, so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be right back.
On last week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we solved eternal mysteries in both biology and music.
Okay, are sharks having sex?
That I assume so because of the existence of more sharks.
Yeah, that's where baby shark comes from.
That's right.
I'm Peter Sagal. To find out what important questions we answer this week, tune into Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturday morning at 10 on 89.9 WJCT.
That sound means you're in the Electro Lounge, where fresh, down-tempo, chill-out, and new jazz music plays Monday through Saturday nights at 9 p.m. only on 89.9 FM WJCT.
This Going Green segment is made possible by A1A Solar.
Welcome back. Well, here in our area, flip-flops are a footwear item you can wear almost year-round. Although maybe not this week. But still, Ocean Soul Africa, a social enterprise and nonprofit based in Kenya, has a mission to turn this Earth's flip-flop pollution into art. And they've recently expanded their amazing creations to the First Coast, thanks to CEO Erin Smith. She's here now with more in today's Going Green. Hey, Erin.
How are you? Thank you.
It's so good to have you on the show. And you brought these incredible works of art with you into the studio. Look for them on our Instagram and Facebook page later today. These are stunning, and they're made out of flip-flops. I can't believe what I'm seeing here. I wish people could see them right now. How did this all come about? How did you turn flip-flops into these beautiful sculptures?
It's amazing, isn't it? And it takes to actually see them in person or in pictures to realize the value and the beauty. So it all started, it was really interesting, in Kenya. For the last 20 years, we've been receiving a lot of the pollution across the Indian Ocean. So from India, from China, the tides are taking this pollution and we're landing on our beaches. And it started as some women in a small community near Somalia that were making toys for their children to play with, because there was obviously no toys. And a project started that way, and it's ultimately grown into kind of a social enterprise now globally.
Each piece is made from washed up flip-flops. You clean them, shape them, and carve them into one of a kind art. Here in studio, we have a gorgeous, huge, multicolored giraffe. You make elephants, dolphins, rhinos. More than a ton and a half of flip-flops recycled each week. This is just amazing. And you can buy these online, but you can also buy these products in Ponte Vedra.
Correct. So I originally am from kind of the Ponte Vedra Atlantic Beach area, and left here 20 years ago to go to London and work globally. Ended up.
That's where that slight accent comes from.
Yeah, so I was in London. Yes, so I was there for 10 years, and then made myself to Kenya, that also has the funky British accent. And we decided we needed a place in the U.S. to be able to ship from, and also to bring the story of. You know, it's a great story of not only job creation and ocean conservation, but the poverty and population is represented through kind of the flip-flop. And, you know, an area that where it's kind of a high-end accessory here is not the same where in your other countries.
Right. For billions of people around the world, flip-flops are the only footwear they have, the only all they can afford. And then when they wear out, they get discarded.
Correct.
And they end up in the ocean. So this is a way to, as you said, protect marine life, upcycle, and create something beautiful.
And an advocate for, you know, kind of this ocean pollution based on, you know, poverty.
This is the most incredible holiday gift I can think of, particularly for the environmentally conscious person in your life. These are stunning. And because they're made out of flip-flops, they're not that hard. They kind of have a springiness to them when you touch these sculptures, which is also cool. And they're so brightly colored and so eye-catching that, you know, I'm so blown away by these, Erin. I really am. So everybody go to OceanSoulAfrica.com. That's S-O-L-E, OceanSoulAfrica.com. Or you need to come to their showroom in Ponte Vedra. It's at 5150 Palm Valley Road. We're going to be talking about holiday shopping after the break, but we're talking about it right now because I can't think of a cooler gift this holiday season.
Well, thank you.
You know, it really is amazing.
And then we have price points from $20 to $10,000 for businesses. A lot of businesses give them away as corporate gifts or put them in lobbies, etc. So it is an amazing option for
people. Can we keep the giraffe? Are you taking that with you? Because that would look really good in our lobby. It's big.
He could be a foster until he finds a forever home. How's
that?
There
you go. There you go. Well, again, it's Ocean Soul Africa. She is CEO Erin Smith. Go to OceanSoulAfrica.com. Buy one of these incredible sculptures made from flip-flops or visit their showroom in Ponte Vedra. It's at 5150 Palm Valley Road. And do people drop off their flip-flops to you too?
Well, that's a program we're going to start, is collecting them globally here in Jacksonville. And then we've got two or three ideas of what to do so we can actually bring kind of the impact story home.
I love it. Well, you'll have to come back when you kick that off.
Okay, we will. Thank you.
She's Erin Smith, CEO of Ocean Soul Africa. Check them out. And up next, more shopping ideas for you as a new pop-up shop for area artists opens up at the St. John's Town Center just in time for the holidays. How you can support local makers. We will be right back. We'll be right back.
Sporer Dodd is a personal injury law firm based in Jacksonville with over 150 years of legal experience. Sporer Dodd is known for their legal expertise, experience, and results. Learn more at sdlitigation.com.
Publix walk-in care provided by Flagler Health Plus is a virtual care service at select Publix pharmacies. They can treat colds, ear infections, sinus problems, or other ailments without an appointment. More information, including pricing, is at publix.com/walk-in-care. Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
I'm Tanya Mosley.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Public hearings in the impeachment inquiry begin.
Three witnesses involved in U.S. policy in Ukraine testify before a congressional committee.
Plus, more Democrats consider jumping into the 2020 race. We'll have the latest news and a discussion with our political strategists.
That's next time on Here and Now.
This afternoon at 2 here on 89.9 WJCT.
Next time on Ask Me Another, comedian Josh Gondelman shares how his life changed when he went from writing for John Oliver to comedians Desus and Mero.
My media diet went from watching Frontline documentaries in my office and weeping softly, and now it's, well, let's see what's new on World Star Hip Hop today.
So join me, Ophira Eisenberg, on Ask Me Another, the answer to life's funnier questions.
Saturday at 11 a.m. on 89.9 WJCT.
Alabama's Democratic Party has struggled with funding and organizing for years, but that's changing.
Whereas there was no state party, it forced folks on the ground to say, hey, we got to do something.
I'm Joshua Johnson in Birmingham, how grassroots organizers hope to rebuild the Democratic Party in this deep red state next time on 1A.
Today at 11 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome to the world of artworks, a place with no worries or pain.
Welcome back. Well, it's not even Thanksgiving yet, but many of us are already thinking about the holidays and maybe getting a head start on that holiday shopping. If you're one of those people, make sure to check out the new Art, See, and Shop. It's a pop-up store featuring the work of local artists at the St. John's Town Center. Joy Young is Executive Director of the Cultural Council of Jacksonville. They're behind this great idea, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
I am so good, and it's so good to see you. And we always want to focus on how we can support local creators on this program. This is the perfect way to do that. Tell us about the pop-up shop.
Well, I tell you what, it is so exciting to be able to present this Art, See, and Shop to the public here in Jacksonville. We're located in the Markets at Town Center, and our partnership with Heinz Global, the Markets at Town Center, and Mountain Star Capital have made it possible for us to provide a venue for our regional artists. We have original, one-of-a-kind, visual art, handcrafted furniture, jewelry, and other wearables. We have books and unique creations. Art, See, and Shop is the place to come and see some beautiful artwork, as well as buy those holiday gifts.
I love this. Now, if you've been to the St. John's Town Center, let me orient you visually. Art, See, and Shop is next to the Kirkland store. That is that little build out of shops that is sort of off to the side of the main town center. There's a Brio restaurant over there, a Nordstrom Rack. We're talking, what's the other restaurant over there? There's a Burger Fi's. Yeah.
Moxie's on that side.
It's over on that side. So if you know where Kirkland's is, then you can easily find Art, See, and Shop. Now, Joy, you guys opened up a few days ago, and you're open through December 21st, correct?
That is correct. And what the shoppers and seers will experience is 4,000 square feet of visual art, again, wearables. But even better, we have opportunities for performing artists. So what we're having as far as programming, we have an Irish musician coming in. We have demonstrations of wash painting. We have watercolor artist demos. We opened with a jazz musician. We've had students from UNF. We'll have salsa dancing. So this place is completely animated and activated through the arts. And this really speaks to what we want to be as the Cultural Council, leaders, engagers, activators, and obviously partners.
Yes. So if you stop by at any given day, you might also catch an amazing live performance of some kind. So you really can't beat it.
You really can't. We will even have children's book readings and have carolers at our artsy and show
shop.
I love it.
Hand out the hot chocolate. I don't care if it's too hot. I want carols. I want hot cocoa. And I can dream of little snowflakes coming down, even though I know they won't be. But when you do your holiday shopping, if you head over to the St. John's Town Center, take some time to check out the pop-up store put on by the Cultural Council of Greater Jacksonville. It's called Art, See, and Shop. Next to Kirkland's in the Markets at Town Center, open every day except Monday through December 21st. And as Joy has been saying, you can pick up artwork from a local artist or other artisanal products. This is a way to shop local, and that is so important as we need to support our local business owners and our local artists and makers, because this is a smart, curated collection of some of the finest talents that we have in our area. So
exactly.
I'm so excited to talk about it with you.
Over 40 artists there, a true tangible investment in arts and culture, an industry in our region that often goes unnoticed, but is so incredibly important. Our store hours are 11 to 7, Tuesday through Saturday, and 12 noon to 6 p.m. on Sundays. So we would love to see you there again. Art, See, and Shop.
That's right. And that's Art, S-E-E, and Shop. You can find them on Facebook, too. So check that out this holiday season. And thank you, Joy Young. She's Executive Director of the Cultural Council of Greater Jacksonville. Thanks so much.
Indeed, Melissa.
And get out and try to stay calm as you shop at the town center. I try to listen to something like Gregorian chant when I go over there sometimes. It doesn't always help, but whatever gets you through the mess.
Let's get into the holiday spirit with some carols.
Yes, I'm about to start playing the little holiday CD that my kids have loved since they were little.
Yes.
So that's coming up too.
Come out and carol with us also. That would be great.
Well, that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Heather Schatz. Michelle Corum directs the show. Our news director is Jessica Palumbo. Bill Bortsfield is our digital editor. We always value your feedback. Keep those emails coming to First Coast Connect at WJCT.org. And now, we want you to stay tuned as we go to NPR's live coverage of impeachment hearings. This historic moment is about to kick off in just a few minutes in Washington. Keep listening for that. I'm Melissa Ross. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.